That's Kings coach Dave Yeager, 107-102. Kings fall to the formerly 10-win Miami Heat at home. I put out a poll last night on Twitter because of the conversation that was happening that I saw unfolding as the game digressed. What would be the word? Just fell apart. As a Kings fan, assuming you get the 8th seed, do you want this team to make the playoffs? Do you want them to make the playoffs? It was a very interesting response because...
How is there even a question?
Well, we'll get into that.
We talked about it yesterday.
690 people have voted so far. Mm-hmm. 68% say yes. 32% say no. But I would say in my Twitter mentions and responses, mm-hmm. I would almost exactly flip those responses from the vocal minority that was expounding on why it makes no sense to make the playoffs. And it's a conundrum for me, and I will throw this at the two of you and at you listening at 339-1140, because I really do see both sides of the argument, and I am torn. And we talked about this yesterday. Yeah. I honestly see both sides of the argument. I personally don't have an answer, Katie. I don't know. It's a coin flip for me.
I understand kind of both ways of thinking, but the way that I lean, and again, we talked about this yesterday, and I'm just going to kind of express the same sentiments. This franchise has gotten way too used to losing. And that is something that when you play for a franchise like that, regardless of how long you've been with it or if you're coming into it, it's a mentality that bleeds through the locker room. Making the playoffs, even if it has draft implications and all of these things, you cannot think about those things as a player. That's what we talking heads discuss, and that's what fans think about. But players, they need to experience success so that the culture, and that word is so overused to a certain degree, but it's true. You cannot change the mentality and the feel and the culture if you are perpetually losing, regardless of if the implications might be better down the road. The longer you lose and the more that kind of drags on, the harder it is to get out of that mentality.
Yeah, you want to. I've got a stat that'll back up exactly what you said. Since the NBA-ABA merger, exactly zero teams have won an NBA title without making the playoffs. None of them. Not once. Not once has that happened in the history of all of basketball. You got to win games.
Well, and it doesn't turn around. You don't go from being the worst team to winning the title.
There's no like magical light at the end of the tunnel. Mm-hmm. I mean, I understand that you always kind of want hope, and you know, as long as the Warriors and the Cavs are still there, maybe there is no such thing as hope. But you can't just keep on kicking the can down the road, hoping mm-hmm. that if you're bad long enough, like the Sixers did, that you're eventually going to stumble into. Mm-hmm. You don't know who that is. Mm-hmm. You don't know what your draft pick is going to be. Win games. Yep. That's it. That's the job. And everything will start to fall into place a little bit. Because you know what? You know it will be a lot less. You know who's not concerned about the development of their younger players? Teams that are, like, you know, perpetual playoff teams. Like, the Warriors don't have to worry about that. Mm-hmm. The Spurs, like, rarely have to worry about that. The Clippers, like, they rarely have to worry about that. And even if the Kings are an 8th or 7th seed, we're going to be talking a lot less about the development of Willie Cauley-Stein and Ben McLemore for two reasons. Either those guys are going to start playing well, they're going to get traded, or they're just going to be squeezed out and it won't matter because you've got a winning team mm-hmm. and those guys will become replaceable and you'll get better.
I'll turn on my microphone.
Good.
All right, so I'll take the other side here because, again, I'm split. So since you two seem to be on one side, I will purposely go elsewhere and say the whole culture thing's kind of garbage to me. It really is. Culture matters.
Is it really? Are you just saying?
Are you saying this because you're taking the other side?
No, this I actually believe, and I'll explain why. And I'll even use the Sacramento Kings as an example. The biggest successful run the Kings have had in their history in Sacramento started in 1999 in the lockout shortened season. In the matter of one offseason, they drafted Jason Williams out of Florida, they traded for Chris Webber, and they signed Vlade Divac. The culture changed immediately. Immediately it changed. It did not take years of winning. The culture changed within the first 15 games of the season and started in training camp. It did not take a learned environment. You switched some of the roster. They had success.
Winning creates a good culture.
Yes, it does. Mm-hmm. I'll give you another example. In 2011 and 2012, the Golden State Warriors finished exactly one game ahead of the Sacramento Kings. They were 23-43. The very next season, The Golden State Warriors were 47-35. That is a massive, massive improvement. And the following year, the Golden State Warriors were 51-31, on and on and on. So for me, culture is important, but the idea that you need to set up this road to an improved, no, you don't. What you need to do is win games. And in order to win games, you have to have an improved team. So here's my thing. This is where I understand the people that say the playoffs are pointless. Can we all agree, and maybe I'm wrong here, the Kings currently are, for a fact, closer to being in last place in the Western Conference than they are the seventh seed. So can we all agree,
it's
for
math.
Intents and purposes here, that if the Kings do make the playoffs, it will be an eight seed. It's not going to be a seven seed, barring a miracle.
Right.
It's an eight seed, okay? They are going to then most likely play the Golden State Warriors in the first round, and if they don't play them, they're playing the Spurs. That's pretty much a fact at this
mm-hmm.
point. So beyond that, we can also agree that the best-case scenario for this team this year, logically, is you make the playoffs and you win a playoff game.
You get two home playoff games.
Yes, and you're gone. So if that happens, they will not have a first-round pick next year, as they will not have a first-round pick if they finish outside the bottom 10. That pick will go to Chicago to wrap up the J.J. Hickson trade. They're already guaranteed to give up an unprotected first-rounder to Philadelphia in 2019. So I understand where these people are saying, this isn't a playoff team. This is a team that just happens to be in the eight seed because of math, and 1 through 7 is so far different from everybody. That's not a playoff team. That's a team that's going to back their ass into the playoffs and get lucky,
Dave,
because everybody else sucks.
We're talking about a Western Conference that just a couple years ago.
It's not a playoff team. They're just in the top 8, according to math.
You had a 47-51 team that did not make the playoffs.
Exactly.
So
that's my point.
You have an opportunity now, because of how things are shifting in terms of the power struggle in the Western Conference, to be in the playoffs.
Sure. To what end? What does that get you?
Two home playoff games, man. A fun season to watch.
Two playoff home games in which you're going to have half the building filled with Warrior fans when they beat the Kings by 30?
No, that's not going to happen.
I don't think it would happen
in
the playoffs.
Not if they're
winning games. Really close games.
Well, that's okay. I'm sorry, Katie. You say your thing.
Any taste of success is a move in the right direction for this team.
What does that even mean, though? And I'm not trying to be difficult, but what does that mean? You have to have a talent level.
Look at it this way. You've got DeMarcus Cousins,
yes,
who's your franchise player,
sure,
who is withering away his best years on a team that cannot make the playoffs. And you can say, plenty of people will say,
100%.
That's his fault, right?
Plenty of people can say that is a fact.
Exactly. You need him to get into the playoffs. You need him to taste that success. His demeanor, his mentality is the way that this organization is going to change. It is not going to change with them perpetually losing.
Well, I agree with that, but I don't.
And he's about to come into a situation where he can leave if he wants to.
He's not going
to
leave.
Okay, how entitled do you have
he's
to be also
leave.
To
you
look at
know.
The situation
nope.
and say, playoffs, no thanks. Not if we're not going to win a title.
And I think,
screw
yeah,
that,
and
dude.
I think that's an oversimplification. I understand where you're coming from. I do. I don't think...
30 teams in this league can say that. 28 teams in this league can say that.
But one of the problems with this organization mentally at the top over the last, especially with the new ownership, their heart's in the right place. I get it. They want to make the playoffs. It's important to them. Everything's about the playoffs. But how many mistakes have been made over the last 3 years because of a win-now mentality? And let's start with that Philadelphia trade.
Well, and a lot of that has to come with the fact that the people that you're putting in positions to make decisions, whether it's the general manager or the head coach, if they don't taste success quickly, they're gone.
Mm-hmm.
So it's breeding this constant turnover. So I understand the we must win now mentality versus the we need to build, and it's a gradual process, because they're not the way that the franchise is going about it. The message they're sending to everybody, this is the, third head coach, fourth head
yes.
coach in
yes.
two, 3 years, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
That's the message they're sending to everybody,
right? That's
including free agents
sure.
and everybody else around the league.
That's an organizational failure.
Yes,
though.
So you cannot fault the people that are in the position. You can't fault Yeager
for
not playing Malachi Richardson when they're in the eighth spot and they're truly trying to say, okay, this game matters. We need this game. We need the next game. It's not like, oh, well, you know what? Ben's not playing well, or Aaron's not playing well, so we should wash our hands of this. We're just going to let Malachi play.
Let me ask
you. That's the mentality that you're sending to your head coach. Win now. So why are you going to say, okay, we're going to try and win now, but we're also going to try and develop? Those two things don't match up.
Dave, like what would be a successful Kings season for you if it does, like if it doesn't result in a title? Because this has like become such a binary situation.
Sure.
Where it's like you either need to be a title contender or you need to be trash.
I will happily give you an example, and once again,
I'd be fine with making the playoffs. That's a successful season to me.
I'll use this very same franchise. I'll make the same example. 1999, strike shortened season. They played the Utah Jazz. They were the number 8 seed. Yeah, they were the number 8 seed. They lost in 5 games to the Jazz. They actually got 2 of those games. They got a road game at Delta Center after getting blown out in game 1. They came back and they won a home game. Here's the bottom line. They made the playoffs. They were the 8 seed. They lost in the first round. So on spec, that's exactly what you're looking at this year, right? But are you telling me going into the offseason of that season, you compare that team and that roster and where they were going directionally as an 8 seed compared to if this team makes the playoffs as an 8 seed and loses in the first round directionally, I don't think they're anywhere similar to the same teams.
No, they're not. But
that's the difference. That's a successful season for me.
I don't care that they are, though. Like, to me, they get 2 home playoff games. I'm a happy fan this season. And then we can talk at the end of next season if they haven't progressed at all or if they've missed the playoffs or whatever it is. But for this year, dude, if they make the playoffs, you can tell me you're not a happy fan? That's good by me, man.
And in reality, Nate, of course I will be. And if they make the playoffs, it's the run to the playoffs. It's scoreboard watching and relevancy. Yes, I'll be a happy fan. But that is, to me, that is the curse of being a Kings fan. I will be a happy fan, and I will be a conflicted and angry fan at the same time. We'll take a break. Four Down Territory is next. Great conversation. We'll continue it again at 8 o'clock on The Drive, Sports 1140 KHDK. Who's that?
That is your computer.
That me?
All right. Hey there.
Hi.
Terrell Owens, that's a catch that he made back in 2008 with the Dallas Cowboys on Thanksgiving, followed by a random highlight that we don't know what that was. But anyway, will Terrell Owens make the Hall of Fame this time around?
There is one lock for this Hall of Fame class, one clear lock, and that's LaDainian Tomlinson. But there really should be 2 locks, and there should have been another lock last year. Terrell Owens should have been a first ballot Hall of Famer. And if he is not in the Hall of Fame this year, we talked about it last year, and I understand he was kind of a douche when he played, and so he got punished for that. But you're talking about one of the greatest receivers of all time. Put his stats up with anyone damn near not named Jerry Rice, and he looks fantastic. He better make the Hall of Fame, or it's just a bunch of fat sports writers being ding-dongs.
9 of his 15 seasons in the NFL were over 1,000 yards.
Yeah.
I mean, you want to talk about stats, and this is what blows my mind. You say, yeah, I understand he's kind of a douchebag while he was playing, so on and so forth, but isn't the Hall of Fame, aren't they so obsessed with stats? Doesn't this speak clearly? Yes, he should be in the Hall of Fame.
2nd in receiving, 3rd in receiving touchdowns all time.
The NFL Hall of Fame is weird, and if there's any reason he doesn't make it in, it's because there's basically a line of progression with these guys. You know, it's going to be, he's got to wait for, and I forget who wrote it, it was maybe Pro Football Talk, but he's got to wait for Isaac Bruce, who had to wait for Marvin Harrison, and so on and so on. It's just a really bizarre process, but I'm going to tell you something. You guys know another guy out there, maybe in our past, that ruffled some feathers, ultimately did a lot of good and got his due over the course of time? I'm talking about a little guy called Jesus Christ.
People listen, listening right now, seriously, if you have kids in the car, turn down the radio. I'm being serious here because I want to bring up a quick point before we move on, but it's not for kids' ears, okay? Charles Haley openly masturbated in front of his teammates and did some horrific things. As a player, he's in the Hall of Fame.
O.J. Simpson killed his wife and a waiter.
He was already in the Hall of Fame. My point is, if you're looking if you're going on character and locker room, if Charles Haley's in the Hall of Fame, then Terrell Owens not only should be in the Hall of Fame, but be like most inspirational player ever.
What has happened here?
Exactly. I warned everybody, turn up your radio now.
It's like 2nd down and 30, multiple flags on that last play. Dear God.
Fragrant foul.
Anyway, Pittsburgh Steelers Radio Network there on that call. What is the scariest team not named the New England Patriots in the playoffs?
Well, we know who you think it is.
That's interesting because you chose the sound, I assume.
Connor Cook and the Raiders.
All right. To me, it is the Steelers. I think that is easy. And that it's just based on the fact that they've got Ben Roethlisberger, who is just a beast. But on top top of that, they have enough things around them. Defensively, they're a super strong team. Antonio Brown, I mean, come on now. They are so stacked and so loaded. And then you add that experience and that swagger that they have. People should have been scared about them 6-7 weeks ago when they were struggling. And look where they are now.
You know, I might just be speaking as a person that's been repeatedly abused by this team and had their heart ripped out, but it's always going to be the Seattle Seahawks. It's as long as Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll and Richard Sherman and all those morons are there, they can pull a rabbit out of the hat better than anyone. And as hot as the Packers have been, dude, their coach is Mike McCarthy. He's going to screw it up. This is what the Seahawks do, man. It's going to happen.
So I got to ask you one question. I understand the Seahawks, absolutely, because they're up there. But does any of the kind of turmoil within the team that's recently coming out in the media worry you or change that at all?
No, they're just good. Like, they find ways to make plays. They find ways. They are not only are they incredibly talented, but for the last, like, 4 or 5 years running, they have been the most lucky team in the NFL. They get every single bounce.
And they got it with their wild card matchup, too.
Short of not giving Marshawn Lynch the ball, every coaching gaffe goes in their favor. It's amazing to see the good fortune they come up with.
I think part of it is also the way I take this question. What is the scariest team not named New England? Now, scary for me means what is the team most likely to win the Super Bowl that's in the playoffs that's not New England? Mm-hmm. So that is what disqualified Pittsburgh to me, because it was really two teams and two teams only for me. It was Pittsburgh and Green Bay. Pittsburgh may, in fact, be the one, but they're going to have to go into Foxborough, and I don't see them doing it. Mm-hmm. Aaron Rodgers is special. He's transcendent. He's a Hall of Famer, and he can put—
You're looking at her like you're going for the reverse jinx here.
He can put— No, I'm just saying, he can put teams on his back, and he's done it before, and he's won a title, and this is a
guy—
There
was a reason I didn't pick the Packers.
This is the cock of the walk out there, guys, the big man on campus that says, everybody get on my shoulders, relax, here we go, and he's done it 2 straight years, and this year, he's even got more momentum this year than last year, and in the NFC, I think the NFC with Seattle, with Atlanta, with Dallas, I don't trust any of those teams. I don't necessarily trust Green Bay, but I see them as having a better shot at winning the Super Bowl than Pittsburgh because of New England's presence. Therefore,
I can't wait for them to beat the Giants so that I can talk trash to Grant.
Yeah, you can
see how that turns out.
Yeah, that worked out. What do you have in your closet? We don't want to know what's in your closet.
That was the last Bears win, which was at the beginning of December against, guess who, the San Francisco 49ers.
Yay.
Bears receiver Alshon Jeffrey guarantees that the Bears will be in the Super Bowl next year. Love the bravado or pity the stupidity?
Pity the fool.
It is difficult because as much as I want to cheer for a guy that's willing to stand up and be a personality, I'm taking pity the stupidity on this one because there has to be some level of self-awareness that tells you the Bears aren't going to win the Super Bowl. They're just not. And if you want to be optimistic, say something positive. We're going to turn it around. Playoffs are our goal. We thought we had enough talent to get to whatever it may. You're not right, Mr. Jeffrey.
You're not right.
He's not right. By the way, it's not some Sean. Let's remember it's all Sean. Mm-hmm. Okay. And he is all in. And I love it.
Good point, Dave.
I like it. I'm fine with that. Yeah, he's wrong. No, the Bears aren't going to make the Super Bowl. But that whole team got embarrassed this year. It's an embarrassing situation. I like a guy that's loyal to his franchise, he's loyal to his club, and there's nothing for him to gain. He's just going to get beaten up on Twitter and around the league and on dumb shows like this one. He went out there and said, I trust my guys. I trust my franchise. Damn it, we'll find a way to get there. I want 10 other guys on offense and 11 other guys on defense thinking the same way Alshon Jeffrey does.
Yeah, you want guys to think that, but you also want them to be in touch with reality. Do you think John Fox's job is safe right now? I mean, they're bad. They're really bad. They're disappointing. And I don't know if they're going to ride it out another year. It probably looks like they're going to do that. But I don't think this is the answer. And it doesn't as much come down to coaching as it does decisions within the organization. So, wow, he's really got a lot of faith in that front office. And I think that is just stupidity.
You're stupid.
Look at Carmichael Dave with the audio audible there.
Dang!
Last but not...
You can do it!
Wow. Well, you lobbed me a pass and I just dropped it. I'm like Darius Hayward Bay. Last but not least, Jeff Garcia wants to coach the Niners.
Yes! Go for it! What do you have to lose? Nate was just saying yesterday, who the hell's out there that's established? Nobody cares. Get somebody young with no experience. He's like the Steve Kerr of football, man. Kerr is a GM for like 20 minutes. He came in, he never coached. He won a title. Let Jeff Garcia come in. Here's why.
He also walked into a team that was completely established and already a playoff team.
Stop with your dumb details. Oh, Jeff Garcia. Yeah. Jeff Garcia is just the type of guy from Gilroy, California, who made it as much on brains as he did on talent itself. He's got that mentality. I love him. He's probably just a different edition of Mike Singletary. But so what? Do it.
It's not going to happen because this organization, and they should be, is so hyper aware of any criticism right now because of how badly they've sucked for the last few years. And the reality of it is, this is what gets me here, is for him to say, hey, I played football for 17 years. I grew up around a father who was a head coach. That means absolutely nothing to me. In the NFL, I think more than any other sport, I think the process of coming up through the coaching ranks is super important. It is necessary to put that time in and to go through the whole thing, be an offensive coordinator, be a defensive coordinator, whatever it is. Don't think you're going to walk in here because your dad coached and you played for 17 years and get a head coaching job. That's just asinine.
Wrong.
Yeah, I mean, you have to have that reputation because by the time he gets a head coaching job, no one on his roster is going to give a damn that he played.
Right.
That voice is not going to matter. So, you know, but let's also not forget that a year and a half ago at this time, the 49ers
hired the custodian to be their head coach.
The guy that cleans our trash cans was their head coach. So,
make it happen. Make Joe Montana your GM and Jeff Garcia or Steve Young.
Find a way to bring Jim Tomsula back, though, please.
Well, yeah.
Please.
Yeah. The bathrooms need cleaning.
Jeez.
We'll take a break. Let's continue with a little bit of NFL next.
Our detailing.
We get into the playoffs, and I'll ask you guys. Let's give out some awards here. Who's your MVP? Who's your rookies? Who's your coach of the year? And we'll look at this weekend's matchups all the way up to the Super Bowls. We preview all that good stuff. Kings Heat Talk, that's coming up at 8 o'clock. Darren Collison at 8:30. Don't go away. Second half of the drive next. Sports 1140 KHTK. Darren Collison at 8:30. Jersey Mike's, number one in your heart. Visit their two Sacramento area locations, 624 Watt Avenue, Arden Town Center, and Fulton Marconi in the Town and Country Village. Proud sponsors of Four Down Territory. Get your sub served Mike's Way with onions, lettuce, tomatoes, oil, vinegar, and spices. We'll get to our NFL awards and playoffs in just a second. From the Department of, maybe you should just put down the lottery ticket, an arrest warrant has been issued for a Philadelphia woman who has made death threats against Pennsylvania lottery workers because she hasn't won.
Oh, no.
Tawanda Shields is 47 years old, and she's wanted on 3 counts of terroristic threats and 25 counts each of harassment and stalking, according to Detective Robert Appleby, and that can't be his real name. Bob says she plays the lottery a lot and gets very upset by the fact that she doesn't win. Well, that sounds a lot like my wife. She's accused of making the threats between April and December of last year using burner phones to leave threatening voicemails with specific dates she would kill people.
Oh, my word.
Hell yeah.
And telling lottery workers she Googled where they live.
Nice.
According to the story.
She deserves to be in jail.
Well, yeah. Yeah, she does. Maybe just don't.
Well, there's one, because I read that story this morning,
too.
She apparently, she plays the scratchers. That's her game of choice.
Oh,
and
Lord.
On a couple of the calls, she's so crazy. She ended a couple of the calls, but you said it was Pennsylvania?
Yes.
Apparently, their, state lottery slogan is, keep scratching, and that's how she ended some of the calls. True story.
I didn't see that far. I'll tell you the biggest reason why I don't play the Powerball. Although I do play twice a year, when it's a $500 billion
jackpot. Right, yeah, why not?
But here's the problem with me, and I honestly don't know if it's because
you don't win because you don't play it enough, you don't put in your time, you don't deserve it.
Yeah, but the winners are always the person.
Way to take care of our schools, Dave.
Right, exactly. That's why I do it. But I don't know if this is just my own craziness or not, or if anyone else feels this way. But when there's a giant lotto out there, Powerball, whatever, and I buy a ticket, and I'll do a pick five, so I technically play it five times. What I do, put a fiver on there, right?
I put five on it.
Between the time that I get the ticket and the drawing, which I watch, I'm already spending the money. I'm going to sleep and I'm dreaming about what I'm going to do with it.
Oh, yeah, we have long conversations about what would happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, you think it through.
I do. I don't just picture me with the big fat check, at the press conference and that big old smile I'd have and that would scare small children.
No, he sees himself buying a house on Turtle Island.
Really? I'm okay,
why don't you just buy the island?
Well, exactly. I'm already thinking about, like, okay, I should get this accountant, and I want to, you know, how would I invest, and I'll do municipal bonds here so that I have some residual income.
I'm going to talk to XYZ about how they invested their millions. And
I've got it all planned. Like, that's the way my life's going. It's not if I win the lottery, this is what's going to happen.
No, it's done now.
I need to prepare myself because in 2 days, in fact, I think I've said it on the show before. I've said, you know, this is my last day because I'm winning the lottery tomorrow. And I feel like one day I'm going to be right about it. So then, conversely, when the lotto happens and I don't win, I get really depressed for like a day. And it's not like the depression of like, I didn't win. It's a depression of like, God, life is so stupid. Why can't I ever win this stuff? It sucks. I hate it. Why'd I even play?
You know what they say.
What?
Keep scratching.
What? Yeah, exactly.
Except I mean, that's not a scratch.
I'm not making death threats to anyone. You know, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. You miss 100% of the lotteries you don't play. Just saying.
Yeah.
I'm just glad they don't have, and if they do, I'm glad they don't have an app where you can just connect it to like
PayPal or credit card.
Yeah.
You can just buy lotto tickets on there, like set it up like a subscription where you automatically get 10. And
I
then
mean, in a way they do.
Do they? Where,
I mean, in a way they do, just in terms of like gambling on like sports and things like that.
But I don't think you can do it. Can you do that?
Well,
I
don't yeah.
Because if they had a lotto app where I could sign up and say, "Oh, I'm going to play $10 a week," and then I just look in my app and it show like, and if I even if I won like $8, they automatically check the tickets and put it in your account, right? And then like you get a push message notification if you win over $50 or something. Mm-hmm. Like that'd be a great app, but it would be a horrible app too because my wife would get a credit card bill 1 month. I'd be like, "I was doing it for us."
Well, that's exactly what happens with Amazon.
That's why Dave has a separate credit card. Now. She doesn't see.
You're kidding.
No, I am. Oh my God, it's 7:38. I'm totally kidding. I'm kidding. She's taking the kids to daycare.
I've
right
heard
now.
You joke about this before. You
yeah,
know.
I have. It's a joke. What's not a joke is Jim Rome tickets will be coming up towards the end of the show. I'm a little thrown right now.
Yeah, you are.
She's totally. I'm getting. I promise you, I'm getting a text within 5 minutes.
Did they
minutes.
Just drop a little bit?
A little bit, or they actually raised.
They went up into his stomach.
I'm gonna get a text. I want to see all the credit card bills by the end of the day. All right, so playoffs are happening. NFL playoffs this weekend. A full stack. Well, yeah, we all think the Patriots are going to win the Super Bowl once again. But hey, does it always shake out that way? No. In fact, remember, Tom Brady's only won 4 Super Bowls. He's been playing in the league for like 30 years. So odds are the Patriots won't win the Super Bowl if you go on what's happened in the past. But let's get to some of the awards here. We'll start with Coach of the Year. Nathan, who would you give this year's Coach of the Year to?
You know, I got to go with Jason Garrett.
Yeah.
And I don't think that Jason Garrett is that good of a coach, but he's a hell of a puppet for Jerry Jones. And, you know, I guess if you're loyal enough, you get some good karma coming your way or something. Jason Garrett's probably not a bad dude, and he's going to end up with Coach of the Year this year.
I agree with you in the sense that that is exactly who I believe will win the Coach of the Year. If I had a vote, I would vote for Adam Gase. I would vote for Adam Gase, the Miami Dolphins. He's not going to win. He'll probably finish second or third.
What about Jack Del Rio?
Jack Del Rio would absolutely be on my list.
This is crazy because all three of those names, well, those two really were on mine. And we've talked about Jason Garrett before, and he probably is very deserving, and his name should absolutely be on the list.
But
the reason why, for me, it was between Adam Gase and Jack Del Rio is the simple fact that I don't have a lot of faith that Jason Garrett is the one making the calls. Mm-hmm. He's gotten very lucky, I think, this year in the fact that Dak Prescott has worked out the way he has and that Ezekiel Elliott is the beast that he is as a rookie. But I don't think that it has a lot to do with the play calling and the pulling the strings for him. They have a tremendous team, offense, defense, everything. But when you look at Adam Gase and what he's been able to do in Miami, I think that's impressive. They went from 6-10 last year to 10-6 this year. They're in the playoffs. I think he's turning that team around and is going to do it in short order. And then you look at the Raiders, who 7-9 a year ago, they end up 12-4. I think they should be 13-3. Obviously, the Derek Carr thing played into it. But I think that, and maybe because we're a little close to it with Jack Del Rio, I don't think that there's a ballsier coach in this league than him. And I appreciate that.
And one thing about both Del Rio and Adam Gase that separate them a little bit from Jason Garrett as to why I'd rather give my vote to one of those two guys. I don't think that Jason Garrett has come into Dallas and changed the culture. I think the culture has kind of changed around Jason Garrett through no fault of his own. And maybe he's a great coach. I don't want to rip the guy. But when I look at Jack Del Rio and what he's done for the Raiders, when I look at Adam Gase in his first year.
He doesn't feel like Jason Garrett's a football coach. I mean, honestly.
No.
He's got a trustworthy haircut.
I know that.
He's competent. He's not screwing up a good thing.
I know he was. I remember how hot everybody was on Jason Garrett as the heir apparent before he took over as Cowboys coach. I mean, he was the next second coming. He was the savior, and now he's just kind of been like, meh. Jack Del Rio and Adam Gase to me, especially Gase, have come in and changed the culture. They have changed the culture of their teams, Matt George.
No love for Andy Reid, though, as much as it pains me to say. Andy Reid, 8-0 in the best division in football, plus, I mean, he's leading a team that's far with Alex Smith as your quarterback.
We're all so conditioned to just writing him off for whatever reason. And you're right,
in general.
It didn't even occur to me. That's the crazy thing. But he absolutely deserves to be in the conversation.
He does. I put him in the same category a little bit with Garrett in the sense that I guess I lean more towards with guys like Del Rio and Adam Gase, I feel like their presence in the franchise has made an immediate change in the culture of that franchise and helped them to success. With Reed and Garrett, certainly they deserve a lot of credit for what's happened. Obviously, Garrett with his handling of the Romo situation, and that's been tough all year.
I don't
year.
Even know if he's handled it, though.
That's the thing. It's Jerry Jones.
Yeah.
And Andy Reid, as you said, going 8-0 in the best, and he's in the best division in football, and he's got Alex Smith. But I guess I lean more towards the guys that come in and have that turnaround impact. Because really, honestly, if we're talking like Andy, if we're going to talk about Andy Reid, we're going to talk about Jason Garrett, who's going to win the whole thing, then my coach of the year is Bill Belichick. My coach of the year is always Bill Belichick. He was without Tom Brady for four games. He was without Tom Brady for four stinking games. And they're online to once again win the Super Bowl. And the Patriots lost two games all year. They're 14-2, and they had to deal with Deflategate and their superstar being suspended. And who the hell, name for me six Patriots not named Tom Brady. Like, everybody at home right now and listening, just think about it for a second. You probably can, but don't you have to think about it a little bit?
Yeah.
Name six. I'll spot you Gronkowski.
Malcolm Butler, Deion Lewis, Martellus Bennett. Jamie Collins isn't on the team anymore.
No.
What's his name, Blunt?
LeGarrette Blunt. Name. That's the
exercise.
And
then the wide receivers that are all the same guy.
You're talking about a 14-2 team that lost arguably the greatest quarterback of all time, who's thrown two picks all year for four games, and Belichick held all that together and once again produced a 14-2 team with a franchise that you have a hard time, and these are people that do this for a living, naming six of those guys.
Well, this is actually going to segue into the conversation of then who's the MVP of the league.
Yeah. I'll tell you, well, Nate started with that one. You want to start with MVP, who your MVP is?
I think the obvious one is the fact that
I don't think there's an obvious
Tom Brady is always going to be a front runner. He's always going to be a front runner. Mm-hmm. And you just rattled off his impressive stats. He's had a historic season. He dealt with Deflategate. But I'm actually going to go out on a limb here, and I'm going to say Matt Ryan. I think he, and again, we talked about it, you know, in the past weeks about how your play the last couple weeks of the season really factor into that. And he finished off the season in terrific form. And I think because maybe of the Tom Brady factor, and he is one of the best football players of all time, and he's terrific every single year, I think people get a little bit tired of voting for him. I think Matt Ryan has a shot.
It's the Belichick thing, exactly, where people do get tired of voting for him. Nate?
I'm taking Aaron Rodgers.
Ah, I love you.
Yeah. I can't ever get on the Matt Ryan train, man. I don't. It's like giving Matt Stafford the MVP. Like, yeah, okay, he had a productive regular season. He scored a ton of points, whatever. It still, for whatever reason, doesn't impress me. The Packers are useless without Aaron Rodgers. Seriously, that's a useless team without Aaron Rodgers. What do they have other than him? They got a mediocre coach. They've got a defensive coordinator that's single-handedly responsible for making Colin Kaepernick look like a star. Like, they're not anything without that guy.
You're right.
He's my dude.
Aaron Rodgers.
He's always my dude.
He's my dude.
Aaron Rodgers finishes second for me. And Nate, you make a pretty damn compelling case. He's not going to win it, but my MVP vote would go to Derek Carr. My MVP vote would go to Derek Carr for the following reasons.
Because of everything I just said, and he proved it by not being on the field.
Right.
That's the thing. Tom Brady is disqualified to me because he missed a fourth of the season. So he had a For the 12 games that Tom Brady played, he's the MVP of the league. There's no doubt in my mind, and I don't think it's close. But you missed four.
What happens when you take air out of balls.
By the letter. Yeah, I think the whole Deflategate thing is garbage.
Right.
But by the letter of the law, Tom Brady missed a quarter of the season for cheating. And whether it's PEDs or whether it's deflating the balls or whatever it may be, cheating is cheating. I don't think he cheated. I think it's garbage. But he missed four games, not due to injury. So I take Tom Brady out of he's not eligible to me for a vote. Not to mention the fact that in the four games he was gone, they lost one game.
Yeah.
So they were 3-1.
With their second and third string quarterback.
Exactly. So now it comes down to only two guys for me. Really three. I'll throw Matt Ryan in there. I believe the Packers. I agree with what you're saying about the Packers being not great without Aaron Rodgers. But to me, if you took Matt Ryan off the Falcons, you took Aaron Rodgers off the Packers, and you took Derek Carr off the Raiders, I actually think the Raiders would be the worst of all three. Mm-hmm. I think they would have the biggest difference. And I could be wrong. I'm open to being wrong on that because the Packers might be 0-16. But when I look at what this team did, or to the point, didn't do last week without Derek Carr and how much revolves around him and not just his – because his numbers don't – Aaron Rodgers' numbers are far better than Derek Carr's. But it's Derek Carr's ability to lead a leaderless team for so long, for them to rally around him. Everything that
Does his age factor into it
little
at
bit.
All? Because of how young he is, he's able to do it?
If I'm going to make the same argument for guys like Jack Del Rio and Adam Gase coming in and changing a culture, then I have to make the same argument in the MVP race between Aaron Rodgers and Derek Carr for Derek Carr, a guy who is a big part of the change of the culture in Oakland. Without Derek Carr, Oakland is about three notches above the 49ers. They're a 4 or 5 win team if they're going out there with McGloin or, well, we don't know about Connor Cook. I think Derek Carr is so phenomenal on and off the field with that team, in the locker room, on the sidelines. I absolutely think, for me, he'd be the MVP. This one's easy, guys. Offensive Rookie of the Year?
Ezekiel Elliott.
Yeah. I mean, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He has to win it.
But there's the big debate of whether Dak Prescott should win it.
What about that guy for the Niners that was there? He was a rookie on offense.
The guy on the Niners was okay. I was like, wait, what? You know, you could make an argument that Prescott and Elliott might split votes and allow somebody else in, but I don't.
I just think it's
there's going to be one.
I don't want to take away from what quarterbacks do, and they dominate the MVP voting all of the time, right? Mm-hmm. But I think especially for a running back, what they have to do, the beating that they have to take, the difference in what their job is and their role on the team. You look at their offensive line, and yeah, it benefits both guys. I mean, the fact that Ezekiel Elliott almost always gets past that first line and goes to the second, line of defense.
Right.
That's amazing. That's credit to their offensive line. But it's also, I think, more beneficial for Dak Prescott to have the time that he has in the pocket to make decisions. And I think being a rookie quarterback, that is why he's played so well, because he has such a great offensive line. You put him on any other team that has a mediocre offensive line, he's not even having close to the season that he's having. But I think Ezekiel Elliott could probably have just as close to a successful season as he's had if in the same situation.
I don't think Defensive Rookie of the Year is as clear-cut and easy as Offensive Rookie of the Year, but I think it's close, and I think it's Joey Bosa,
yeah,
the San Diego Chargers. Despite that contract issue and everything going on.
That just makes them look like morons, though, because
sure
I think it would be clear-cut.
Sure does.
If he played the whole season.
He was absolutely amazing. Ranked 5th amongst all edge players, according to Pro Football Focus, 10.5 sacks, and just really,
didn't he
really,
miss 4 games?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Really, really, really good. Okay, this weekend's matchups. Let's move on to that. And we'll obviously do a heavy job previewing the Raiders, just so you know, coming up tomorrow in their game this weekend. But going over the entire scoreboard in itself, we'll leave Raiders and Texans aside. Lions at Seahawks. I assume we're all going one way on this, right?
I am.
Yeah. Katie?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
It's not Jim Bob Cooter's Lions of Detroit.
Dolphins, Steelers?
Steelers.
Steelers, easy.
Giants, Packers.
I'm taking the Packers.
I'm actually taking the Giants.
Really?
Yeah. Even
at Lambeau, huh?
Yeah. Won there before in the playoffs.
Yeah.
I think, and this Giants team is kind of built interestingly. Their secondary is pretty strong, and I think they match up really well against those Packers wide receivers. So, yeah, sorry, Green Bay. I think you're going home early.
somebody brought it up on the text line too.
You don't think your MVP is going to be able to do it?
No.
Something in the back of my head. It's not going to happen. Ezekiel Elliott will win Offensive Rookie of the Year. But in a weird scenario, what could in fact happen? Well, no. I think what will happen, because it's so hard to do that.
Right.
If Prescott and Elliott split votes, yeah, Jordan Howard has a pretty damn good case too, running back for the Chicago Bears. He really does have a good case, especially when he was platooning it, or really it was Langford going in.
Yeah, but the teams had no success.
Sure, that I understand that, and that's why Elliott or Prescott would win. But then again, this rookie is going up against other teams behind Chicago's offensive line as opposed to Ezekiel Elliott going up behind the best offensive line in football, the Dallas Cowboys. That's an argument in favor of Jordan Howard for me. Did we just talk Dolphins Steelers or no?
No.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Dolphins. Yeah. And then Giants Packers. I Lambeau makes a difference for me. I do kind of want to go with Eli Manning, but he's also facing Aaron Rodgers, so I can't use the Eli Manning's been there card because so is Aaron Rodgers, and they're in Lambeau. It's going to be very, very cold.
Aaron Rodgers,
it's cold in New York.
He's lost at Lambeau in the playoffs to Eli Manning and Colin Kaepernick.
It's going to be 12 degrees. Eli Manning doesn't like cold weather. And I'm not basing that on anything other than it just supports my argument.
The big question, though, you guys, which we've been dancing around, who do you got, Texans, Raiders?
Well, I was going to say that till tomorrow, but since you asked.
Jeez, thanks, Katie.
Katie.
You have to address.
I do?
Yeah.
Is that a law?
Yep, it's on the rundown.
I'm going to go Raiders.
I
went Texans earlier in the week. I'm going to go Raiders.
Let's see it.
I actually am going Raiders, too. I think it's going to be they're going to squeak by, and it's going to be bad news after that. But I actually have a little bit of faith. And, again, it goes back to I have a lot of faith in Jack Del Rio.
I unfortunately don't, and I'm taking Houston. And I think that this one could actually get bad in a heartbeat because if that Raiders defense plays anything like they played against Denver, they're screwed.
They are
screwed.
Yeah,
I can't. Yeah, I just don't like it, man. I'd love to pick them, but they haven't shown me anything.
It really is.
In the 1 week that they've had this iteration of this team. But
really is. It really is a coin flip, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it honestly is. It is a coin flip this weekend, and that's tough. When you look at championship games or potential championship games, first round buys go. Maybe I can't turn down my thing. That's my fault. First round buys go to the Patriots and Chiefs, the Cowboys, and the Falcons. When you look at the AFC, Nate, who you got in there?
In the conference title game?
Yeah.
Pittsburgh and New England.
Yeah, that's where I'm going to.
Yeah, that's exactly what I have.
I mean, this seems easy. What's going to happen, though, you guys?
Another thing, though, we constantly overlook the Chiefs. That could be a really interesting game. It's whoever the Patriots end up facing, that's going to be just a snooze fest. There's no question in that one. But it could end up being a very interesting game between the Chiefs and the Steelers. But I still take the Steelers.
NFC, I'm going to go with the old, it's funny. This is a kind of a cowardly way of picking because you go Pittsburgh and New England on one side. Mm-hmm. And then on the other side, I'm going to go with a couple of teams not in the top two. I'm going to go with the Packers. I'm going to go with the Seahawks.
Dang it. That is exactly what I have here.
But see, that's cowardly of all of us. We're basically just choosing teams that are really good every year.
No, it's not.
No love to the Chiefs. No love to the Cowboys. No love to the Falcons.
No.
Dolphins.
Yeah, no, I don't give a lot of love to the Falcons, and that's just reality because they've performed extremely badly in the playoffs. I think they're 1-4. Now, granted, the teams that they've faced and knocked them out have ended up going to or winning the Super Bowl, so you got to look at that. But the Seahawks are perpetually good, and the Packers, man, it goes back to Aaron Rodgers for me.
Seattle and New York, let's see it.
Okay,
let's
see, there you go. Seattle and New York.
Wild cards. Wow. Have some fun.
So none of us are thinking that what the Cowboys were able to do during the regular season is going to transfer over to the playoffs. No. That's interesting.
Rookie quarterback, man.
No love for the Chiefs. No, who went 8-0 and all the crazy and stuff. And
still
people
Andy
are like,
Reid,
what?
Alex Smith,
morons.
Man.
It's going to be a Chiefs and Cowboys Super Bowl.
That would gag me. You know what? Hey, Matt, honestly, if you told me right now that I could slash out the Giants, the Packers, the Seahawks, the Patriots, and the Steelers, I'd do it. I would be a more enjoyable playoffs for me.
Really?
If I took all the other teams and they were just eliminated, I'd be fully happy with that. Get them out of there. Get some new blood. That's just me. We'll get to our Super Bowl picks later on in the month as we will be down in Houston. Just a reminder, Super Bowl week with coverage all the way through Friday. All kinds of fun and guests. That's always a great week, and we're able to bring to you some pretty cool people. So stay tuned for that, and stay tuned as we talk Kings next. Kings and Heat at 8 o'clock. Darren, call us in at 8:30. Sports 1140 KHDK.